The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Moving Forward. We've got a really great program today, and we're going to be exploring a lot of different issues and topics that are relevant and important. I wanted to follow up on what we were discussing last week. Remember, we were talking about the postal increase and the impact and the potential opportunity that that could have on your business. Well, there certainly seems to be a follow-up story to that, which is in the United States, and granted this is U.S.-centric for our non-U.S. listeners, but there is something always to learn for ourselves. You know, and as an aside, you know, we can learn from everyone, but be discerning about who you take advice from. You know, we can learn from everyone, but you really want to be discerning as to who you take advice from. I was very fortunate today to speak to someone who I highly, highly respect and admire, and I'm just incredulous at what this person has accomplished and who they are. And what this person advises, I take action on. So if this person said jump, I'd be curious, I'd be interested, and I'd want to know more about how high I should jump. It's not even like questioning if I should jump. Other people, they say jump. I say that's an interesting contribution. You know, I'll think about that. Thanks for offering that. You really want to be discerning. Because as we know, everyone has a view, advice, opinion. Everyone knows. I would say the most dangerous words in the English language are I know that. I know that. And I'm talking about in a business context. I know that. Because we're not open to learning or listening. We can learn from everyone. Please, please don't take advice from everyone, because ultimately we're responsible for what we do and what we don't do. Now, back to the post office. Was that a complete, you know, tangent? A tangent waiting to happen, as they say. The post office. We talked about last week, if you were shipping a record from the U.S., say, to the U.K., on Sunday, Saturday, it would have cost, $13, and come Monday, it was $18 and change. I forget the cents, quite frankly. However, significant increase, significant increase. So we talked about the impact that could have on your business in terms of overhead, the potential impact it could have on your clients, and where the opportunities are. You know, certain people who are an import expert were starting to look at freight as an option. So where is the opportunity for you and your business? Where can you be proactive? And now the post office, the postal service, is announcing in the United States it is not going to be delivering first-class mail on Saturday anymore. So the post office, the U.S. Postal Service, which loses $25 million a day, is looking at this as a way to cut down overhead and expenses, and they believe it can be a significant contribution to turning things around. Now, what's important about this is to just know, how will this affect you? How will this affect you? It may or may not. And they don't know actually if they need congressional approval to do this, but they're moving forward with it. So notice where you're reacting or where you're responding or where you're not doing anything. The post office has gotten to a place and a point where they said, we're not waiting on Congress. We're doing what we need to do now. Sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Be responsible with that. However, you know, where are you waiting for something rather than being proactive in your business? Where have you gotten into the habit or you're putting it aside? Like, it may be something that you actually do realize and recognize is important. A $25 million a daily loss didn't just happen. You know, you just, it wasn't like the post office opened, and this happened. So there were decisions made, there were things handled, and also, you know, there's a lot of other variables that are unique to the postal system, which we're not going to go into in terms of they can't necessarily charge what they spend and, you know, that trying to run something as a business when it's a government entity, and yet the majority of their expenses, I believe $11 billion of it has to do with healthcare, having to do with benefits. So with that being said, this may or may not impact you. And where is this an opportunity for you? So it may or may not impact you, and where is it an opportunity for you? There's another interesting piece that I really want to focus on for today, and that is an announcement about the Dare to Grow project. And the Dare to Grow project came out of this radio show, and that is that it is all about turning around the number of women-owned businesses that make under $1 million, so that earn. And we looked at the statistics a couple weeks ago. We talked about the dynamics and the issues and some of the challenges and some of the unique variables. And the Growth Management Group and myself have actually taken on and supporting a project called the Dare to Grow Project, actually Daring to Grow. And it is to impact and influence and turn this around. So if you have an interest in being involved in the Daring to Grow or Dare to Grow, I have to actually get that firmed up, project, then please reach out. And what this is about is supporting women-owned businesses, women who own their own business, that means 50% or greater, in generating more revenue and being more profitable and being more scalable. And as you've heard me say a gazillion times, there's what they do and there's the business of what they do. And the business of what they do in terms of national averages and percentages, we've not got surpassed the 1.8% mark in terms of over $1 million in 15 years. That's amazing. That a statistic could stay static like that. That over 15 years, think of what's happened. Now, certainly in terms of economy, recession, et cetera, the number of women-owned businesses has grown dramatically. So there's something missing. It's just that simple. There's something missing that if it were in place, most likely make a big difference. And we know that, and I know that from the work I do with my clients, right? You walk in, you don't have to be an armchair quarterback. You don't have to be a savvy business person. Whether you watch some of these pop culture shows, you know, that go in and help businesses, Restaurant Impossible, those types of shows where they go in and they support a business owner and turning their business around. There are some very clear reasons, but they're so in it. They're so in it that it's not observable, or people aren't dealing with the numbers, or they don't really understand their business model, or they never even looked, as we talked about when we were talking about multi-level and network marketing and direct sales, you know, what is my, what can you make? What is the potential profit? And purchasing a franchise, we talked about in this television show, in the radio show, you know, the potential profit that is available if we were maxed out. So that's an important thing. Now, how can you be involved? How can you get engaged in this national project that's going to be rolling out in 2012? Well, for more information, please email Jen, J-E-N-N, at jensabin.com. That's Jen, J-E-N-N, at jensabin.com. And let us know that you want to volunteer, and we will be happy. We will be delighted. You will be connected to a member of the project team, and we'll support a way that you could be involved. And we're also going to be looking for sponsors for this project, because it really is a special and unique opportunity to really impact and make a difference in terms of not just the women and the businesses, but really support impacting and influencing the economic landscape. So with that being said, what is today's topic? Today we're talking about some really interesting things that we've noticed. Is anyone here aware of the story of the downsizing of where the young lady was responsible for the social media for 2 years? And when there was an announcement, an internal announcement that 60 people were being laid off, she tweeted it on the under the hashtag of the organization, and then tweeted it personally. And the company didn't even realize that no one else really had access to that account. Now, it was in the news. It was in the business news. So let's just take a moment and step back and look at you and your business. Consider you and your business. Who has access to what? And if for some reason they aren't available, how will you get access to it? So you don't often realize the value of human capital and the importance that people have when you've been working together for a long time, unless, heaven forbid, something happens to them. You know, Chrissy Benoit, who's an amazing restaurateur, very successful, was on this, and she spoke about how in her restaurants, there is a book that is put together that she has and her manager has. Well, I don't actually know if her manager has it, but certainly Chrissy has it. And that is, if anyone gets sick or they for some reason elope and find themselves in the island for 2 weeks, what happens? What happens? Does anyone know the password to this other than that person? Does anyone know the process? Now, there's how you do it in your own style. Who's got the combination to the safe? So it really is, it's kind of a brain book. Do you have one of those? You know, if Janice or Susan or Tom or Henry, if something happens to them in your business, have you been working together for so long and it's so fluid and it's so clean, but if for some reason nobody even thought to ask them before they went on holiday how this gets handled, and it never occurred to them to give that piece of information, and all of a sudden you find yourself stuck, stymied. Stuff happens. And if you're a small business owner, the ability to stand back and have kind of a deconstructed material, book, manual, whatever for the book, is part of you getting bandwidth. It means you can delegate stuff, because some of you might be listening, well, wouldn't it be great if we had a team like that, but we don't. I'm going to tell you when we get back the story of one woman, and by taking this simple action for something, for one of her services that she offered, how all of a sudden she was able to exponentially grow her revenue. When we come back, I'll share that story. We're going to go to break now.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Jen Sabin, and welcome to Moving Forward. Today, we're talking about ways to mitigate, information risk, and at the same time, expand and have the opportunity to grow in terms of scalability and profitability in your organization. And it's such a simple methodology, and so many of our guests have spoken about it that it's time actually to shine a flashlight on it, because it's one of those things that I've noticed my guests have just presumed is in place. And when we go into companies and businesses and small businesses and we do workshops and seminars, et cetera, and our programs, that it's missing. And it makes sense that it's missing. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really impact things in the terms of the day-to-day, in terms of customer service and effectiveness, et cetera. And yet, it's such a key piece that when you look at common things that people who have really built some stellar businesses, it's there. It's there. And that's what I, in looking at this Daring to Grow project or the Dare to Grow project, I have to find out the exact name of it, and looking at that and talking about what's missing. You know, what's wanted and needed that can make a difference, that could help these businesses grow and be more profitable, that could have these business owners, just their lives made a bit easier at the same time. It's not about putting in, that they won't be putting in effort, but just reducing some of the stress and problems. Well, this has to do with deconstructing things and having them in a way that you could look at them. What are you talking about, Jen? So, for example, there was a woman who had a small business and great, highly, highly respected, rave reviews, from the work she did in her business. It's on many boards and has gotten a lot of press, really well done. And when you step back and look at it, not the most profitable business. Why? Because she went from being the cog, the thing that made everything work, to the clog. Now, she does these programs, and it's in a particular venue. So she does these programs on Friday nights throughout South Florida, and she delivers them, and she's awesome, and she gets, really good attendance. And we were talking about coming up with the manual for it. And she's like, I do it. I have an assistant. She does it. We were talking to her through one of the programs she was in that my firm offered about creating a manual for it, that it won't take a lot of time. It really is a small investment in time. And it's kind of as if you've ever watched a sporting event and you were listening to it on maybe the radio, remember radios, and you're listening to it being announced and they're giving you play-by-play action. So he's running down the field. He passed it to the thing. He's open there. Like you're actually, it's being described. Well, if someone were to kind of write the script of what it looked like that she did, if it was a show or a production and they were to write the script and deconstruct it. So what do you need to make sure that you have for this particular, you know, going all the way back to when it's put into date, you know, what are the marketing, where is it listed in terms of events, to what is packed, how many pens, how are things put out, what is the way that people are greeted, how do you capture people's information when they attend, what if someone didn't pre-register, this, all of it. Like, we actually went through and deconstructed all of it, and it really didn't take that much time. Literally. Maybe at most 180 minutes, at most. Right? And we said that this is the first iteration, so there's probably stuff in there that wasn't complete. And when I say 180 minutes, I mean from the whole thing, from A to Z, done, handled. And the first time we talked about it was maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but 3 hours in total to have the complete, finished, polished, you know, bound edition of this thing over a couple weeks. And what happened to this particular person was, she unfortunately had a family member who had to have some serious surgery, and it was a conscious decision and couldn't be there for the next scheduled event. So for the first time, this person really got something about replacing themselves, because she really had it. She's the brand and she's unique, but all of a sudden now there's the opportunity to start. And this is a service-based business, so if you're in retail or you're manufacturing, you're depending on your industry sector, but there was the opportunity for her to call someone else who provided the same service and find out if they were available and have a manual, here's how we do it. Now, when she got back from this, the first thing she did was started training people and put in place an apprentice program. And so, you know, fast forwarding, now instead of this one person leading this, providing this program or service, there are now several people providing this program or service. And she has literally increased her revenues by 450% from that one line of service without much additional effort. Because we created the apprentice program really easy, and the apprentice program actually made her life easier. Made her life easier, made her business more profitable, and now with everything that she offers, she's implementing it across the board, and she's taken a different approach to her branding. She never would have been able to do this until she was willing to step back and deconstruct the process and have it written out and have it in a manual form. And for some of you, you're listening, you're like, yeah, this is pretty basic stuff. And others are listening and saying, I can't do that with my business. Certain parts of my business I can, but we can't do that with my business. And what I say to that is not. There was a woman who, when I was in Manhattan, I lived in New York for about 20 years in the city, and I once took this cooking program, a cooking class through the Learning Annex, and I have no idea what's happened to this woman since, because this was some time ago, but it was called to And Grandmother's House We Go. And what this woman did was she went to Mexico, and she went to different villages and spent about a year or 2 years with the grandmothers in these villages, watching how they cooked. Now, nobody had recipes written down, right? It's a pinch of this. If the tomatoes look good, well, how do you know the tomatoes look good? You know, she saw what they did and created the recipes. So she took what they were doing naturally, what was fluid, and deconstructed it into recipes, and then came back to the States and taught people how to make these authentic recipes that these women had done all their lives and probably learned from their mothers or whoever, you know, they learned to cook from growing up. And things were passed down through watching and verbally, but no one ever wrote anything down. And we don't have those same type of apprentice programs today. And what's more important than that is imagine for your team who go about things, if you've got people that are really effective, you know, this is an opportunity for them to contribute to others and increase the effectiveness. Do you know why they're effective? Do you know why Susan has more sales than Jack? And it's not just about what's missing for Jack. It's like, okay, how can Susan get better? And you've got to be really careful about this. There is a wonderful, wonderful story of a woman who is a case study at Harvard and is in one of the multi-levels we talked about. She's with Mary Kay. Her name is Gloria Mayfield Banks, and she tells a story of how she was one of the top, I think she was with IBM. I might be incorrect, but she talks about how she was one of the top sellers, people in the field. And what they wanted to do was bring her in and have her train everyone else and teach everyone else. Makes sense. And for that, they were going to put her on a salary that was actually less than she was earning as a salesperson. So as a reward for being one of the best, they decided to leverage this and to have her create a team or a cadre of people who are really good as a trainer and give her a fixed salary. Now, if anyone knows anything about salespeople, part of what the game is about, part of what entices people, part of what is the oxygen, is the ability to earn more money. You know, there's a big distinction between a professional in a career who's salaried with perhaps a bonus and someone who's used to being in a commission dynamic. I have a grandmother who's 101 as of January 1st, 2013, 101. And she had said if someone were, when she had worked, she's an amazing woman. She had worked in Wall Street in recruiting. And this was in the 60s. And she had said if someone had offered me a salary or 100% commission, she said I'd take the commission every time. I'd bank on me. So it's understanding not all salespeople are this way, but certainly that didn't make sense. That was not a smart way to go about it. And in turn, she left the company and built a multi-million dollar organization in the Mary Kay organization, which is a cosmetic and skincare network marketing company. And what's the point of this? The point of this is that do you have in your organization somewhere other than just in terms of how people know it, that next level of a manual or a brain book? You know, are you capturing some of what you would call best practices? And you know, the view I have, and this is not in any way Voice America, this is my view. When something becomes a best practice, and it's a best practice, and it's a best practice, great. It's no longer a best practice. It's now the new standard. Right? It's no longer a best practice. It's now the new standard. So if you've got people that are demonstrating or experiencing best practices, capture them, deconstruct them, and have them be the new standard. Guess what? You've just raised the bar. The new standard is that we say thank you. The new standard is that everyone who works with a client within after they've used the product or service three times, you send them a thank you letter in addition to the already existing things that you have in place. The new standard. What are your best practices? Have them become the new standards. This all circles back. What does this all circle back from? This all circles back from making sure that you have created a book, a manual that captures the systems, the structures, the relevant, the pertinent information so that you can begin to not have to think about those things and manage them and get caught somewhere. When we come back, we're going to talk about other ways and how to even do this, right? This is more than just like, ooh, that's a really good idea, but how to do this and when to do it. When we come back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much. You know, we had an interesting email over the break regarding this, and it was from someone who said, this all sounds great, but it's just me and my business. Right? So, essentially, I could go into the details, but... So they are a solopreneur, right? And they don't have a retail store. They don't have a manufacturing business. It's them. And they use independent contractors when they need stuff done. So why do I need this? Like, you know, that sounds great, but not for me. Now, here's what's really interesting. When you think about it, if you were to invest the time and that's our biggest commodity. We all know that. That's the one thing that we can't, that we don't have more of. We could only put in constructs or delegate or hire someone to expand what gets done so that our time is freed up or so that we're not using our resources or energy on something for, you know, we all have the same hour. What are you using it for? Remember I said before that quote, it was a couple shows ago when we were, I'm not sure if we were talking with Arlene or if, who our guest was, but a master is someone who controls, the difference between a master and a slave is a master controls how they spend their time. A master controls how they spend their time. You know, it is the one most precious commodity. You cannot get it back. So it's so important not to squander it. So when I say to invest time in something, that means it's pretty significant. It's pretty significant. Now, there's so many ways to do this, by the way. I've had people, and what they've done is they've used a transcriber. They've called like freeconferencepro.com or something, and they've recorded it, or maybe they've got the software in place, and they spoke it, and it's printed out, and it's done. And they have someone transcribe it so that, because it was easier for them to talk through it than it was to write it out or type it out or hire someone to do it at that point. So there was that first iteration. So if you work for yourself, here's the thing. Let's say you want to hire an assistant. You want to expand. Because ideally, even though it's you in your business, maybe you're the only one providing the service or the product, there are so many other things that are required, necessary to run a business. There's what you do in the business of what you do, and ideally you have a team for that. And it would be interesting to notice that if this is something and you ever considered expanding or replacing yourself, and that may or may not be the case. That may or may not be the case. Or, you know, that you have these things in place. For example, Jennifer Borba von Stauffenberg, who was one of our guests speaking about PR, she talked about how when a company was called and they said they were called for a great PR opportunity, and the person at the front desk had never been trained on how to handle that type of thing. Right? So she said, someone will call you back. She didn't have the verbiage in place. They didn't have the one sheet in place, the one sheet, like a one-page glossy thing that they could send. They didn't have the photos in place. That's an infrastructure piece. That's separate and distinct. But this person wasn't trained properly. And you don't know what you don't know until it kicks you in the behind. So if you have your own business, there's how you go about things, and they may seem like the best way to go about them, but you've been doing it that way for so long that by being able to actually explain how you do it, listen to this, well, I don't know how I do it, but stepping back and deconstructing it can offer for you the opportunity as well to maybe see where there's a piece that you're doing that way because of when you started. There's a root cause thing here, that when you started, you were doing it on the phone. You were doing it in person and not on the phone. So you handle it this particular way. Or at that time, you didn't have the technology capabilities. So you were doing it this way. Right? I mean, down to the dynamic of if you write thank you notes, that you and if you handwrite them, that you have you Xerox one of them, so if somebody else can write them for you. Not just telling them what to write, but, you know, or having the template, but they could actually see it in handwriting. Like, these are the different notes that I write. So you don't have to expend the energy on recreating something that you've already created. That's one. Two, it's the ability to look at it, especially when you are a solo person, because you are so ingrained in the habits and the routines that you have that you don't even know you have those habits and routines. It's just how you do it. It's like blinking. And it may get the job done. And it may not. It also has you really look at your kind of processes. But it's fluid and it's natural. Consider this. When we hear a musician or when we go to a play, right, it's authentic. It's in the moment. It's now. The music, fantastic. That music was at one point for that person, chords and notes on a piece of paper or words that they learned that was deconstructed. And the person who was the composer of it most likely, you know, was able to play around with it and edit it until they came up with what I call play around, but compose it till it reached its final piece. So then it went through all these channels. For many of us who start off in a business, we're just in it. We're doing it. We're not necessarily thinking about it, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur. You created things. Maybe you created something a particular way because you didn't have the cash reserves, but you're still going about it that way. So there's so many different advantages to how to having this happen, right? To doing this. And for some of you, I know you might be listening like, when? Well, what you want to look at is, you know, pick a place to begin. This really is to focus on what you what you do in your business. Look at your week. Take a moment. Look at it like a movie. And if you were to write the script of it, look at how the product or service that your client experiences. What is it? And if you're expanding out, it makes it so much easier. What you've just done is created a blueprint to grow your business. So when you bring someone in, you could go through it. Here's how we do it. And here's how I like to do it, or here's how I like to say it. Now, what's your style? But here's what we're doing and why we're doing it. This may, for some of you, as I said before, make so much sense, but of course. But of course, yeah, we wouldn't even be able to operate. And this is more than just a procedure manual. As I said before, the woman who created it for the program that she did in Miami, by having that, by even just having that checklist, you know, she was so used to just doing it. She knew what to do. But by having that checklist, she didn't have to think about anything. And this is, you know, if she didn't have to think about it, getting ready was so much easier. And then what she could do was she could give it to someone else and tell them to do it. And it started to include, here's why it took 3 hours, because after she went with the checklist the first time, she realized how much stuff she left off that list. She realized that they have to load things to the location. And in there wasn't a thing to call in advance and find out where the loading space was. You know, where they could load and unload. And what the access was and who the person was. So it became something that became so efficient and so easy that literally what used to take hours took maybe 30 minutes and there was an assistant involved, an apprentice that was being groomed to ultimately be doing this themselves. So think about it. Where in your business can you delegate? Where in your business are you growing and grooming? Where in your business are you leveraging the already existing skills you have? Because that apprentice could then start to train the next apprentice in some of the basic things. And some of the basic things. It's amazing how this can grow. And what it's all about is on one level delivering the product or the service and fulfilling on that vision and mission. And on the other side, it's about making sure that the product or service, you know, is generating, that the business is generating revenue. Without money, without profitability, we don't have a healthy business. The definition of a business is a sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. There's all these other motivators. There's all these other pieces. But in terms of the definition of a business and what you have is a business, right? So one of the things we're always looking at to monitor the health and well-being of that business is the profitability, is the cash flow. Profitability is a tricky wicket because it's theoretical and da-da-da, but the cash flow. You know, your net profits, your gross profits, to monitor that P&L. That is, for some, you'd call it like the cholesterol level, your waist, that's your BMI. That's, you know, there are certain things that we look at that are indicators of good health, of health and well-being. It's the same thing for a business. And the primary one is what? The cash flow, the money, the profitability. That is an indicator. Now, you've heard me say this so many times. Oh, my gosh. And I'm going to throw it in again. And then we're going on to the next topic, all right? Yet, you can be really great at what you do. You could have a great product or service. It can be stellar. We've seen it time and time again. That does not mean that your business will be successful. The business needs tending to, right? Somebody needs to be responsible for the business itself. And the business is about the sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. If nobody's managing that piece, if no one's being responsible for the business, right? And it's like a Venn diagram because remember, it's a sale or purchase of a good or service. And so we've got to make sure that good or service can be sold, can be purchased. We're getting into marketing. We're getting into customer experience. We're getting into delivery. We're getting into all those components. and with an attempt to make a profit. But it's all done with an attempt to make a profit. When we come back, we're going to talk about where some of the people get their ideas, their strategies, their inspirations from, and why they could be looking in the wrong place. Uh-oh.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Today's business marketplace is becoming increasingly global thanks to technologies that didn't even exist a few short years ago. Your business might be a startup, or you might be one of the global 500. Either way, you're probably looking at customers and competitors in faraway regions. Listen for Global Reach with host Tay Revez as she brings together experts, ideas, and listeners to help you anywhere in the world. Global Reach is broadcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
So welcome back, everyone. And what we've been talking about so far today is looking at where you have kind of the protocols, the process, the information. Some of it is, you know, factual login information, passwords, et cetera, where you have that located. And the other piece is just also literally the processes, the how you go about things. And whether you are a solopreneur, whether you have your own business, your own service, or you know, I know somebody who's got a great business, and what they do is it's them and an assistant, and they are involved in vending machines. They provide vending machines, but essentially the business itself is the two, but they have a greater team. And for this person to actually step back and look at how they did things, not only that, when they were marketing, when they were having conversations, what were some of the key lines or phrases that they used? What were some of the conversations? How did they handle things? It was really interesting to see that even though they had policies and procedures mapped out and written out, there were some that were really informal. And to step back and look at them and to have them, you know, someplace where, you know, what the exceptions were was really, really valuable. To be able to go through with the person's assistant, and it just was a very healthy exercise in terms of looking at why certain things were put in place and what was really best for the business now moving forward. Part of what this exercise does is it gets you current. It has you think of now moving forward versus this is the way we do it. And it's an opportunity to innovate, to refine, to initiate, because what it has you do, and this is really key, is it has us stand in the current reality. It has us stand now and look at our resources and look at our existing market. Some of the things you may have put in place were designed or the habits were cultivated for a particular, with a different market, with a different system and series of technology, and you haven't even recognized that. You haven't even recognized that. I was talking to someone recently, and they had figured out, they had a three-tiered pricing system for different people. It's kind of like having a plane. You could either go coach, business, or first class. And that worked for them. But the reality is they weren't a plane. And even though the numbers worked out to have their business work in terms of their projections, we looked at it, and the conversion from the coach class to the business class was negligible. So there was an opportunity to look at, okay, so what could be conversion, or is this just this type of clients? And do you want to be catering to the business class and the first class clients and create something else? So in other words, do you want someone else on your team handling the coach class clients? And this is, don't hear anything pejorative in this at all. You know, anything at all. It's just looking at their business and their business model. And so what if you eliminated coach and just had business, first class, and then something above first class? Whoa. But I need that up there. Why? Why? So people can feel like they're getting that other value. The person chose to keep it up there. That was fine, but it became a strategic choice. It was no longer being attached to or scared, because she realized what it did was it had people reference business against something else. Well, you know, nobody really flew coach on the Concorde. So there's something to notice anyway in terms of branding it and how you're setting it up. But it really is about making these choices. When she first started her business, there weren't many people using those premium package services. Now the majority of her business is that middle tier. So does she want to create it? Is what she has the best to grow that middle tier, if that's where she, the sweet spot for the business? So what had happened was, obviously, in this particular instance, there was never stepping back and looking at it from a business point of view and maximizing profitability because of the conversion rate or that community. The coach people really didn't fly business class. They just didn't. It was two different worlds. So did she need to create something in her business to serve that coach community? Did she need to have an employee? Did she need to have an independent contractor that was working with that particular community? Did she need to partner with someone else or simply refer them out to someone else or eliminate it? But these are discerning choices. This is executive thinking. This is looking at your business and strategizing, not just considering, well, this is the way it needs to be. What works best for my business, for the target market, for the brand, for all of it? But can you see how there was just this piece in place by default? There was just this piece in place by default. And actually, it was costing this person money to be working with that lower tier because it was a trading time for dollars, such as an attorney. It was about, you know, trading time for dollars. So in that particular business model, this was not necessarily the best strategy, or maybe it was. That was for her to decide. But for every hour that she was working with a coach client, she could either be using that time in her business somehow to cultivate a new business class client or be working with a business class client and increase her revenues. Now, there's another piece, which is, you know, there's no right answer. It's not like you have to do this. It's you. It's in your business. But can you make informed choices? Can you step back and look at it? And part of what we're talking about is that very thing, being able to do two things, to have a place where it's outside of you, outside of your team, where you have those, that not just information captured like passwords and stuff, but also have processes and ways that you go about things and constructs. So in some ways, you could challenge them. You can look back and say, well, given where we are now and where we're going, is this the best approach? Is this, given how our clients are now ordering the majority of our products online, are our thank you notes too long? Because they used to be through it, you know, emails change, Twitter's change. Or, you know, do we need to put something in place where we're leaving them a phone call and saying thank you? Because it's been so long since they've heard a human voice. Do we need to go back to that as a way of doing it, or have a follow-up call randomly, certain clients, and notice the return rate, start doing some beta tests and see what could increase client retention, could, you know, create more referrals, to create a tribe. This is about playing on your business, and it comes as from something so simple as capturing what you do and deconstructing it and being able to look at it, not just in it, not just through these other mediums, because you have cultivated habits and routines and you don't even know what some of them are. When this particular client who did this service on Friday nights in downtown Miami began to lay out the manual for it, to come up with the brain book, as I call it, for this particular aspect of her company and her business, she realized how ineffective it was. When I say ineffective, the people who experienced it loved it. It's a great program. The clients loved it. But on behind the scenes, in terms of use of her time, when she was first starting, yeah, it made sense. But she wasn't in that same place, and she wasn't leveraging and using the resources. She had gotten in the habit of going about it this way. And when all of a sudden she was able to create more bandwidth, she began to step into the place of someone who was responsible for growing and grooming the business and improving the client experience. And it really, as simple as that, made a huge difference. So where's the next step for you? What area of your business over the next week are you going to step back and look at and deconstruct? Pick one aspect of your business and let us know what happens. Get back to us and let us know if you want to be involved in the project, Daring to Grow or Dare to Grow. I cannot believe I'm not sure of the name. But email us and let us know at Jen, J-E-N-N, at jensabin.com. Thank you so much for being with us today. And do let us know. Please, we'd love to share your story about how deconstructing an aspect of your business and starting to have a brain book for your business made a difference in terms of the flow, the profitability, the scalability, the customer experience, whatever it was. Till next week, make this week a moving forward week.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week.